I want to talk about one of the most powerful things we have as human beings. I mean, our will is associated with that. Pastor Kim was sharing about that this morning, right? She was talking about our will has to do with being willing and obedient and these things. But there's something that's very powerful. It has to do, even in the legal realm, when a person gets up on the witness stand, what do they first do? They put their hand on a Bible, right? And if they don't believe in the Bible, I guess they get to do something else. I don't know, whatever they do. But they make this statement, don't they? I swear to do what? Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Again, if they agree with that part of the statement. But what are they committing to that everything that comes out of their mouth at that point is going to be? The truth. And it's going to be based upon what they know, isn't it? It's going to be based upon their experience. That's why they're called a witness. They're going to tell their story, their side of the story, and they're going to tell it the best they know as being exactly the way they know it. Is that right? So what happens if somebody tells something other than the truth? You can actually get in some big-time trouble, can't you? If you've perjury. That's, you perjured yourself on the witness stand. Because everything that's coming out of our mouth is either affirming something that has consequences. It's not just something you're saying. It's making an effect upon somebody else, isn't it? Somebody's life is dependent upon the truth that's coming out of your mouth. Yes. Now, this is partly what I want to get to here today, because what we're declaring is very powerful with regard to truth. Now, a lot of this has to do with our perception. So we have to get our perception lined up with what the truth is. How many know that in the world today we have a lot of quote-unquote truth coming at us? And it comes at so many different angles. And it's amazing. You turn on one channel of... It's not television anymore, is it? It's internet or whatever, you know, it's cable or whatever you want to call it. But yet one of those channels, you turn on one channel, and if you watch it, you'll come away from it saying, getting a perception of truth, right? Think, well, that's how it is. And then you go over to another one, and it's completely opposite. You think, well, what is the truth, right? And that's why it's so amazing. Jesus comes along, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so for us, it's so wonderful. Actually, our country was based upon leaning upon that truth that comes from him. And the greatest challenge against it is to be able to have a falsehood of something that isn't a truth, the lie. You know, communism has had this approach to America that they're going to overcome us by just getting us to believe a lie. And they're really working hard to do that. What keeps us in a place where the truth, and it's not just to have a perspective on something, it's when it begins to come out of our mouth. Here's what's happening on these channels all the time. You have people saying stuff. And what they're saying is not a small thing, because it's causing an effect. What they're saying is having an effect. Okay, we're gonna call this effect a confession today. Can we look at this word confession? Now, if you look it up on the internet, definition of confession, it usually has a negative connotation. It's like you're gonna have to go in and you're gonna have to confess all your sins, stuff that you've done wrong. But if we can look at it just a little bit differently, and we will according to what the word has as a definition of confession, because it does come up in the Word of God. What it really is stating your perception of truth. Now, when it comes to a confession of fault, you're actually admitting to being wrong. If the truth is, I was wrong. And it's a very important place to get to so that you can start to do things right. Is that right? But it's not the only thing that needs to be declared. Any truth that comes out of our mouth becomes something that becomes very powerful. And we're going to talk about this being a connected confession. Because what happens is if God has said something that is the truth, everything about the truth that's in God has no effect in our life until it gets connected to our confession. Until it becomes something that's coming out of our mouth, it's empty. Right. It's not powerful. It cannot do anything. And just as that person on the witness stand says, I swear to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, what happens when I violate that? Something very negative has taken place. The same thing that happens, we get truth from the Word of God. It needs to be ingested in a way that we really believe this is the truth. But from that point on, we should be like a witness on the witness stand that says, from this point on, I'm going to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because if I go from that, I'm not no longer connected to the truth. Can we see this? All right, this is going to be some good stuff here. Because it's something you actually have to hold on to. You're going to be tempted. Why is that a problem for a witness on the witness stand? When they start getting asked questions that actually make them begin to look like it's a challenge for them, what do they begin to do? Should I lie or should I tell the truth? Right? If it's gonna make me look in a bad light, if I'm gonna lose something as a result of telling the truth, if something doesn't seem right to me based upon what I'm seeing, I'm gonna alter the truth. I'm sure this happens a lot, probably on a witness stand, doesn't it? People just get away. I know it happens in politics all the time, right? It's like it's just, you know, we shape the truth to meet what we desire. And what is the pressure on that? Because there's something bigger that I think is important than actually the truth. So there's gonna if our confession when it comes to God connects ourselves to Him, then there's going to be a lot of opposition to it. Our flesh is going to rise up. Sure. There's going to be things that happen in the world around us. And we don't realize me just saying something is not just me saying something. It's either the truth or it's opposite of the truth. And it's very powerful. I just want to say this real quick. We use words for communication, don't we? Man, I'm trying to learn some other languages. I should have started when I was a kid. I know. I would have learned a lot easier because there's so much to Spanish that it's like, man, you got these ERs and those ORs and it's all gender-oriented and all this kind of stuff. And it's like there's so much to it. And it gets built into your system, doesn't it? You people that speak Spanish, how many speak Spanish? Yeah. You don't even think about it, do you? It just happens. And I'm glad I had English spoken to me correctly growing up because it helped in English a lot because you don't actually have to figure everything out. It just flows because you heard it right in the first place. And there's a language in the Spirit. There's a language from God that has to be heard in a certain way that it's going to be something that flows from you. And it's very natural, right? Because what we're saying is very critical. It's powerful. And God doesn't just see words as communication. He sees them as creation. How did He create the world? He spoke. Amen? And we're going to see that faith in God is directly connected to what we say. And it doesn't ever get separated from that. Everything about what we believe about God is going to have something we're saying associated with it or we're disconnected from it. It's not enough to just say, I believe. Even for salvation, what do we have to do? We have to say something, don't we? Why? Because the confession connects us to the power, connects us to God. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let's look at Hebrews 4:14. And what I really like about this is there's going to be a need, and I want to impress this upon us today, that there's a need for us to get control of this in some way. Was that amen? I got an amen from a phone. All right. Oh, that was me. That was me. All right. Good. Well, just repeat that a few times. That works. But what religion would do for us, it would say, okay, now you have to control every word that's coming out of your mouth. You have to take control of this because it's so important. And we're going to impress that. There's some truth to that. But what I love about what we have in a relationship with God is he says, you just take a step of faith in this regard, and I'll be the equipper. I'll be the one that makes it powerful for you. And this is what happens in these first couple of verses I want to look at, because this is where we use this word confess, okay? Let's look at this. With every embrace of his word is actually an embrace of him. What did Jesus come to be? The word became flesh. Anybody familiar with that passage? Out of John, right? It says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Man, I don't know, but that's a little bit of a hard thing for me to understand. You know, a word became flesh. Well, this is how much God's word is connected to him. And this is how important it is for our words to get connected to him. He doesn't just see communication coming out of our mouth. He sees creation coming out of our mouth. And we don't get separated from that. It's who we have been made to be. We're in his likeness. Amen? And so, when we begin to get his words coming out of our mouth, we're actually connecting to him. There's actually an anointing. There's a spiritual power that we take on. When we get, can we just practice this? You can do this like with, let's just all say this once. The Lord is my shepherd. Now close your eyes and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Close your eyes and see Jesus and say, the Lord is my shepherd. There's something powerful that just takes place in just staying. Is that the truth? Now, if he's not your shepherd, it might not make that big of a deal, right? But when he's your shepherd, you might have gone through the whole day not feeling his shepherdness. But you just said something that actually was a creative force in your spirit that caused who he was all the time to be experienced. Does that make sense? And that's just in saying the Lord is my shepherd. Everything about God is connected to a confession of him. Okay? Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Confession. And again, we're going to look at the meaning of this just a little bit more. There's another passage that says, we have he's the high priest of our confession. What is that? Means he can't do anything until we have a confession. He doesn't have anything to work with until we have a confession, until something's coming out of our mouth. I just want us to see there. What's coming out of my mouth connects me to anything that's good in God. Right. How critical it is. Yeah. Amen? Right. And he understands everything we've gone through. And as soon as we begin, and he knows what we're going through in the moment, and he knows that when we begin to say something other than what we're going through, but what he's actually declared as a victory for us, he says, man, I identify with that. I can help that. Amen? Yeah. Let's look at Hebrews 10:23. Maintaining confession keeps from wavering disconnect. So we were saying, if this is such a powerful thing for us to have in God, there's going to be a lot of opposition to it. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. That's why we have to do it intentionally. We were in prayer here this morning. We have a wonderful time of prayer. We get ready in prayer. And I just want you to know right now, we're completely dependent on the Holy Spirit making a difference in anybody's life here today. He's changing me as I'm sharing. And I just believe he's here to change each person here today. Amen? But Pastor Kim was talking about in prayer today, she's talking about willingness, and kind of like she did in worship today, that there's a need for our will to get involved in. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't really care. My will just is not necessarily hooked up. And yet, inside, I know what it should be. Is that right? And this is what the Word of God, and this is why it's so important to what we're doing even right now. We're getting aware of some things. Because sometimes I'm not going to feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to make this confession anyway, even though I don't feel like it. And you know what? That sounds so good to God. He says, I know what they're going through. I've been through what they're going through, and they're saying something else. They're saying what I said instead. Right. Oh, he said, that's powerful stuff. That's faith. Amen? I'm the high priest over that. I'm not a high priest over whining and complaining about stuff. Amen? I just want us to be encouraged in this because it's so easy just to say, I'm just communicating what I'm going through. And no, you're confessing what you're going through. You're making a declaration of what you're going through, and that's what you're going to keep going through. Amen? If you want something to change, you have to start saying, okay, what did God say about this? Yeah. That's going to fill my mouth.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And so I just want to be encouraged in this because we're told now to hold fast the confession of our hope. That would be faith also, right? Without wavering. And again, I like this because it has a comma and it keeps going on. All right. So if we just stopped right there, we'd say, okay, I have to just start doing this on my own. But no, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Every time I say no, I'm going to hold on to what God has said. I'm going to hold on to that. How do we hold on to that? It's going to be what we're saying. How do you hold on to it? I just had this example. Because I got to go fishing in Alaska. This is the most, it's like you go into a completely different world. I mean, this place is just amazing. We flew in 40-minute plane ride, amphibious plane, into a lodge that's, I won't try to describe it too much. But it was just an amazing experience. And we had an amazing guide that knows how to do all this kind of stuff because I had no clue at all. And you fish for different kinds of fish in different kinds of ways. You need to have the right stuff for this. You need the right lures and everything. And Larry knows all this kind of stuff. Maybe at some point he didn't, but boy, he does now. And so, he even has like a GPS thing that can tell you the depth of the ocean underneath of you and where you need to go for certain types of fish. And then he has the right gear to go get them. And he has these electronic reels that when it's, how deep was that one place? 200 and some feet? 250 feet. I mean, how many would like to crank on a thing for two, you know? And with a 3-pound weight on it, plus a couple of huge hooks with a whole bunch of bait on them, because we're going for the big boys. And you know how much work I did in that whole process? I sat on a little bucket, and I held.
I held on.
So Larry fixes all the lures. It's got a 3-pound weight on it. I drop it down. He says, okay, when it hits the bottom, you just lift it up just a little bit. You can actually feel the weight hit the bottom. You pull it up just a little bit, and all of a sudden I felt, something's going on. Something likes what Larry put on there. And He said, okay, start pulling it up. So you hit the button. And if he's fighting too much, you kind of let off a little bit. You let him run around with it a little bit. Okay, I'll describe it as best I can. Just put up with me, all right? But what was my job at that point? If I wanted to catch that fish, all I had to do is hold on, didn't I? I had to just say, okay, I'm hanging on to this thing. I even laid it on the edge of the boat so I didn't have to hold it with all my own strength, you know, too much. I was cheating, but I was chilling. And it didn't feel like it was that big. You know how big this fish was? It was a 92-pound halibut. I mean, it was big. What is it, about like that or so? Yeah, I mean, it's like, wow, that's a big boy, you know? And when he got to the top, Larry reached down and snagged him with a big hook. And he said, Hunter, I need some help. This one's too big. But first of all, he put a buoy on him, and he let him run for a while, you know? And you know what I was doing that whole time? I was just holding on. I didn't have to know everything. I just had to hold on. And just some patience. I had to let it go through its process. And it got in the boat, and I got to take a picture in the boat, and all I did was hold on. Hopefully this relates to some extent, because all the work's been done by Christ. We don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to put the Word of God in our mouth and hold on to it. Does that make sense? And it will come to pass according to what He says. Not according to how we feel, but we have to hold on. Yeah. If I'd have let go of that pole at any point, it was a big fish, big lure, big preparation, everything's ready for it, and I just didn't hold on. Right? This is how powerful what God has given us in our mouth. This word that we're getting even here today, it's not a small thing. It's something that your connection to it can't just be a nice nod. Yeah, I agree with that. It has to be something where you're actually putting, it's when it's coming out of your mouth that the connection is made to the gear. Yeah. Amen? It's the holding to what God said that enables what God said to be powerful in your life. But he said, I've said this. Now for us to be partnered in this, you're going to have to say it. And it's going to have to be something you hold to. Amen? Okay, let's look at what this confession means, because it is a little bit different than what you'll get on the internet under definition.com or whatever that is, okay? And I like Thayer's definition. It makes it a little bit more understandable, but I'm just going to go through this. Can you get that up there, Braden? Can you see what I'm talking about? Says Thayer's definition. All right, all right, all right, all right. Do my Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. You finding it? There we go. Oh, no, can you see what I'm talking about, Daniel? There's going to be a Thayer's definition. I'll just go through this as he's getting it ready. So to say the same thing as another. This is different than just saying what's wrong with you, isn't it? This is to align yourself with something that has already been said by somebody else. Isn't that good? Yeah. To agree with, to assent, to concede. That means, okay, I'm going to give up. And here's the one thing you do have to do if you're going to hold on to one thing. You're going to have to let go of what already is in your hand. Whatever's coming out of your mouth already, if you're going to fill your mouth up with what God said, you're going to have to let go of whatever it else is that's already in there if it's not aligning with Him. Right. Amen? Amen? To concede, to not refuse, to promise, to not deny. See that up there? There we go. All right, we'll get it up there that way. To confess, to declare, to confess, to admit or declare oneself guilt of what one is accused of. Now, we can use this to a certain extent because, first of all, to get in line with what God is saying, we're going to have to say, okay, I've been wrong. I've been saying some stuff wrong. My mouth has been filled with some things that aren't right. Amen? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'll just admit that maybe I've been filling my heart up with some stuff that isn't from God. Yeah. There has to be that side of it. But not to the point that you're pushed down and you're just feeling guilty. No, let's go to the answer. Amen? To profess, to declare openly, speak out freely, to profess oneself worshiper of another, to praise and to celebrate. Isn't that interesting? That this confession takes on these other aspects of it. It's actually exalting something that has been said. I thought about it this way too. It's declaring something to the point where it becomes your identity. This is what I found out with Spanish. It's like I can go through a lesson, and the thing I don't like about these programs for this is they take you through a lesson, and I don't know, I need to go back over stuff a few times myself until it gets inside. Yeah. And I can tell when it's gotten inside, I don't have to think about it anymore. It just comes out. But I hate it when I go back through a review and I think, I don't even know if I've heard this yet. I think this happens all the time with God because we don't actually go back and go over it again. You know what I mean? We think, oh, I heard that. That was good. No, you don't until it comes out of you without you thinking about it. Amen? Until it's your first response. When you're saying, man, I feel weak today. And you say, yeah, but I've been dwelling on how God said I'm strong. And you say, I'm strong today instead. Right. Is that right? Because what does God say? And until my confession, until what's declared, what's coming out of my mouth agrees with what God said, it doesn't matter if he's the strength of my life. I'm not experiencing it. Because I'm not connected to it with my confession. Can you see that? That's why holding to what God has said is my responsibility, and it's a powerful responsibility. It's a critical one. Can you see that? All right. Confess. Let's go to Romans 10:8. So I've been saying this, but this passage really declares it very clearly. It says there's a power that we have that connects us to God that's no further than your mouth. How many have a doctor? I'm still trying to get me a primary doctor. I've been having an issue getting a primary doctor. Anyway, I've got the ones they gave me when I had to have them. But now I want to just get a primary one. I'm getting challenges on that. But what? Why do you need a doctor? Why do you need somebody to give you a prescription for something? Why do you have to go to a doctor? Because you need somebody to give you a prescription, right? Why do you go to the chiropractor? Because they can make adjustments, right? He said, this is something you don't need to go anywhere for. It's right there in your mouth. It's right there in your mouth, but you got to use it. You know what? It doesn't do any good if I get a primary doctor and he gives me a whole bunch of prescriptions for stuff. They like to give you stuff, don't they? It's like drugs, you know, fix everything with drugs, you know. Not necessarily, whatever, but what happens if they give you all these prescriptions and you just say, ain't gonna do it. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you give people a solution, and does anybody ever do that? And they just don't. I remember I used to teach guitar, and I would give people the way to learn the guitar, and they come back the 2 weeks later. You never even touched your guitar, did you? You didn't do a thing with that thing in between, did you? I taught Cody. No, Cody was good. Cody was good. But I know God is thinking about this one sometimes. He says, you know what? You went to church. I had something special for you. It was right from my heart. It was a word that if you would just put it in your mouth and eat on it this week. Amen? I know what it would do. You know, some of these medications, the way they work is over a period of time. You know, some of this stuff that I've been prescribed, they say it's going to be at least 3 months before you see any effect of it. Isn't that interesting? And we take something from the Word of God, if it doesn't make us feel all spry and cheerful like in 5 minutes, we decide whether or not it works or I'm going to do it anymore. Right. And you know what? I've gotten in the habit of just doing what they say to do and to trust the process. Well, let's look at Romans 10, 8, okay? But who does it say, or what does it say? The word is where? It's near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You know where this comes? This comes from Deuteronomy. That is the word of faith which we preach. What is the word of faith, okay? It's going to tell you here that if you do what? Yes. Confess with what? Mouth. Your mouth. Man, our mouths are powerful things, aren't they? The Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A lot of times we can put a lot of emphasis on believing. Jesus said, if you can only believe, all things are possible to those who are believed. But salvation comes from what? Not just believing. Confess. Is that right?
Right.
You can say, well, I just think I'll pass on that today. Well, then you're going to have no effect because the connection to faith requires confession. Amen? Why do we want to hold on to it? Well, first of all, I'm going to get an experience in the presence of God every time I say something that comes from his word. And I like that. How many like that? Yeah. Amen? But also, I can have an expectancy that now my faith gets hooked up with it. Because now no longer am I just doing something religious. Now it's faith-oriented. I can expect God's at work on my behalf. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Let's go to Colossians 2:6. Are y'all good?
Yeah. Good?
This is kind of essential, isn't it? Amen? Colossians 2:6, as we received by confession, so we walk, abounding in faith. I want to say he said salvation, and we're going to go in and see what salvation is. How many need something before you go to heaven on this earth with regard to salvation? Does that make sense? Gloria was puzzled at me, so... How many need finances? That's salvation, isn't it? How many need help with your family? We have periods of attacks on our bodies. We need salvation in that regard, right? And so let's look at this. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, because the passage we just saw is to receive salvation from him, we have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, right? But for everything else, it happens the same way. That's what it says here, right? As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him. Walk in him. That means everything that we're going to do to actually be able to walk a life of faith and victory, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be finding out what God said about something and then confessing it. How do we get saved? Jesus is Lord. What do you have to do? Say, Jesus is Lord. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you become saved. Well, that's just that one truth. Jesus is also my provider. So what do you need to do? Begin to say, he's my provider. It's very simple. It's just taking what Larry gives you, dropping it in the ocean, and doing what he tells you to do with the stuff that he gave you to work with, right? God said, I'm giving you the tools here. What are you doing with them? Amen? So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Don't you like that? It doesn't say just barely getting along with it or really trying it and hoping it works. No, he says abounding in it. This is going to be something that you can actually live victoriously in. Amen? And it will touch every aspect of your life. It becomes your MO. How do you live? Well, I live by what God said, fill in my mouth. Amen? That's what should set us apart from the world. Philemon 1:6. Overflowing abundance awaits every connected confession. Man. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience what? All the good things we have in Christ. Man, there's so much to it. We should just be excited. We should be thrilled. What else am I finding out about God today? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What is coming my way because my confession is in line with him already?
Yes.
Amen? Amen? It should be, we should be just living in joy all the time in abundance.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, okay. That was one of the hymns from when I was a kid. But, you know, it should do that. It should, like, man, this just comes up out of me. I'm glad in what God has done for me. Amen? He's come. Every answer I need is in him. And because it is in him, I'm connecting to it with what I say. Amen? I love this because it's not something that's a weight upon me. I don't have to hold on to it with my own strength. Amen? I say what he said, and it invigorates me to believe. It activates my faith. Praise God. So what are some of these confessions? Let me just go through these real quick. Salvation. We believe for salvation, amen? Why do we believe that? Because we've been promised. If we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. We'll take on a new creation in Christ. We'll be somebody that we never were before. Is that right? You know how big a deal that is? That's a pretty big deal. How many believe in healing? By his stripes, we have been healed. He bore all of our sicknesses and all of our pains on his body, on the cross, so we don't have to anymore. So what does this become? It becomes an opportunity to actually fill our mouth with that truth over something we're experiencing. Now, we go through things. It's not that we're not going through something, but what's going to fill our mouth? Amen?
Right.
We can say what God said about us. Right. Strength. I already referred to this. But we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, aren't we? Amen? In the presence of the Lord, there's joy forevermore. Is that right? And we get our strength from that joy. We get our strength from that joy. So when I'm feeling weak, I have the option to either say I'm weak and be weak, or I can begin to say what God said. Is that right? And my connection to what God's provided in his word needs my confession for it to work. Is that good? Wisdom. How many ever need some wisdom? I'm so grateful that we found out that we can, when we're lacking, we can ask for it. But what does it say to do? It says to not be like a wave of the sea, right? Don't be wavering in your expectation. That would be directly connected to what you're saying. You're not saying, I don't know what to do. You're not saying, I don't have wisdom. In the middle of feeling like the biggest doofus, there's reasons for us. I'll just tell a story real quick. Are y'all good?
Yes.
Yeah, I went down and helped in Louisiana when they were first in this building that they built for this purpose, for these ministers' conferences. And they asked me to sing, and it's not a normal thing for anymore. It's usually my son that does the singing and that kind of a thing. But anyway, they had me help. And so I got up early that morning, and Mark, my brother-in-law, had just shot a deer out the barn. We were staying in the barn at their place out in the country, and he, that morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, right when the sun first came up, he shot a deer out his back window, so I went out there to look at that deer and to praise him and everything like that, and it was supposed to be a joke, but anyway, in the process, I stepped in some stuff that I didn't know I was stepping in, and I And so we went back to the church. This is the maiden voyage of this church that they've just prepared, and it's all pristine and everything. And I walk up on the platform, and I'm thinking, man, they didn't clean this very good. Oh, no. It's poop on my shoes. I mean, what a bigger doofus can you be, you know? All right, I was just trying to think of an example here because I felt like big time low. And I'm thankful that God doesn't just say, okay, yeah, you are a doofus. Just never do anything again in your life. Never go up on a platform again, because when you do, there's going to be poop on your shoe. I'm just grateful that God has something for us to change our focus from. And we can begin to say again, no, I have the mind of Christ. I'm perfect in him. Amen. I'm complete in him. Amen. I'm sorry if I embarrassed my wife over that. Okay. He has a purpose for us, doesn't he? I know the thoughts that God has for me. They're for good. They're for to prosper, to do things well. Amen. That has to do with my whole life. So when I feel like I don't know what's going on in my life, and I feel like things are not just going like they should, or if I'm pressing towards something and it still seems like it's far away from me, I can say, no, God's thoughts are good towards me. He's taking me. He's leading me. I'm following him. Amen? But I have to hang on to that, or else I completely disable my connection to his provision for it. Can you see that? Deliverance. How many need delivered sometimes from a situation, from a stronghold? Sometimes there can be a stronghold that we've opened a door to in our life, and it's like, man, this is too much for me. Instead of saying, I can't overcome this thing, we can say, no, God is my deliverance. Amen? Direction. How many need direction? We need help from him, don't we? And we can begin to put those words in our mouth of that he guides me. The Spirit of truth has come to abide in me, to guide me into all truth and to lead me. Amen? Peace. What I like about peace is it will guard your heart. Amen? And how does that peace come? When we begin to put our thoughts on him. He said, you keep your thoughts on me, and the peace will guard you. Amen? But it needs to occupy, when you're having the biggest challenge with it, the biggest solution with it, is to just drop the pole in the water that God has already given you and to hold. Say, I'm not letting go. I'm going to say this. Amen? All right, I have one more here. Y'all good? There's a purpose that's bigger for this, us, than it's bigger than just for us in this. And it has to do with something that God's always calling us to. He's always calling us to his body. And a big liberation for us in the things that we're concerned about in our life is when they become a reason in something bigger than us. Are you following me on this? And he's called us into his body, and he says, I need you to be healed for my body. I need you to be able to function. I need you to be free. I need you to have wisdom. I need you to be wealthy for my body, not just for you. Amen? And when you begin to have that bigger purpose for filling your mouth with the confessions of what he said, you realize that it's going to take you to your life. Our life on this earth is very brief anyway. But making sure that it accomplishes its purpose that is bigger than just me. Can you see this? Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. And what's the purpose of all these guys, all right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and the complete standard of Christ. Now, here's the part. Then we will no longer be immature like children. What do children do? They just respond with whatever is on the inside, right? However you feel at the moment, right? And he said, what happens is you grow up until to where you begin to control that by what you're holding on to, right? We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We're not just impressed by whatever seems to be right at the moment. Whatever channel we're looking at, we're just not gullible. We don't just believe it just because somebody said something. No, we have a witness on the inside right now that's either bearing witness with what God said or in opposition to it, and we're rejecting it. Does that make sense? We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Sounds like what we need, isn't it? Instead, we will speak what? The truth. That sounds like a confession from God, doesn't it? That sounds like something we've gotten so used to. You know, you get used to hearing somebody talk in a certain way. In fact, you can get used to somebody's voice, can't you? My wife and I went and saw that Reagan movie. I don't know if, not to influence anybody politically, but I like the guy, you know. And I thought Dennis Quaid did a really good job. He sounded like Reagan, you know, the way he did his voice. And Reagan actually had a thing at the end, and I thought, is that Dennis or is that Reagan? You know, because you get used to hearing somebody's voice. Even the words that they say, you can say, well, that wasn't them saying that. They wouldn't have said it that way. They wouldn't have declared that thing. Is that right? You get used to putting what God has said in your mouth. You're going to know whether God said this thing or not. It's either going to sound like his voice or it's not. Amen. The world's not going to be able to fake it like Dennis did. You're not going to say, well, is that God or is that the world? No, you're going to know. Because you've been fellowshipping with the word. It's been filling your mouth. Amen. You've been imitating it. Right? You're sounding like God so much that you can't be tricked anymore. You can't be moved anymore. Does that make sense? Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Don't you see how the necessity of this becomes our responsibility? For the church to grow, I'm going to have to get my confession lined up here. For the church to grow, what's coming out of my mouth is going to have to be what God says. Amen? It will protect us from strife. It will protect us from the things that are from the pit of hell that would cause us to be divided. Amen? Because God would never say something like that. And we're not going there because we're holding fast to our confession of faith. That's only what God says. Amen? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen? Yeah. Isn't this good? Yeah. What are we going to have to do? Now, I know, how many know the Lord here today? How many have some word inside of you already? You understood when I'm looking at these confessions. Amen? Let's be encouraged that we can't just be dormant. The word cannot be dormant. It connects us to the power and the will of God to the extent that it occupies our mouth. Amen? And other things are already occupying our mouth all the time. Right? So we begin to just do it a little bit. The Lord is the strength of my life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Amen? And what it does is it transfers, it switches what might have been in my mouth that would disconnect me from the power of God, and it connects me directly to him. Amen? It's faith. It's the power of God made available in our life.